Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you once again for tuning into this message for today, the 13th Sunday of Pentecost. Right out of the gates, you'll notice if you read the lessons assigned for today that the creators of the lectionary had us in mind in our plight against COVID when they assigned Psalm 26 to us. Verse 6 reads, "I wash my hands in innocence and go round your altar, O Lord." So keep that hand washing going, everyone. King David certainly doesn't want us to lag in our diligence or lay aside any precautionary measures. Last week, we looked at the first part of a conversation that Jesus had with his disciples in Caesarea Philippi, a city known for its religious pluralism within the midst of Judea. Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And the answers, of course, who do people say that I am? And the answers, of course, were various. And then Jesus asked them, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter, in the high point of his career to date, responded, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." We're looking at the question of what makes the church the church. And we see, first of all, that the church is a community of people who confess Jesus as the Christ, the Savior of the world. And of course, our own Savior too. What makes the church is a good question to ask at a time in which we aren't meeting together in public, as we've done for generations. Our church doors have been closed here in Stettler for over 5 months now. I wonder if that's ever happened before in the history of our congregation. I doubt it. Today, we look at the next part of that conversation between Jesus and his disciples. And in it, we discover the next part of the answer to the question of what makes the church the church. Most people are interested in one way or another of improving themselves in success, growth, in self-improvement. I suppose there are some people who aren't the least interested in self-improvement, but by and large, I think most people are. And case in point, is the masterclass. Have you seen commercials for masterclasses? There's quite a few of them out there. Some celebrity or expert has developed a class to teach you how to become a skillful filmmaker or a comedian or a negotiator or even a chess player. All you have to do is sign up, and before you know it, Serena Williams is teaching you to be a tennis player, or Chris Hadfield is teaching you about space exploration. They even have Natalie Portman teaching acting, which raises some questions for me. I mean, have you seen Thor? I'm not so sure Natalie Portman is the right choice to be teaching a masterclass on acting, but I don't know, maybe that's just me. Well, I came across a video this week. It's a parody of the masterclass videos called "Your Dad Teaches Loading the Dishwasher." It's pretty funny, and I'd say it's well worth looking up on YouTube. Someone's dad teaching you about whether to place the utensils handle up or handle down, how to stack plates and bowls, whether to use liquid soap or pods. It's pretty good. Why do we have such an interest in these things? Well, sometimes we just want to learn something new. And there's definitely something very rewarding and fulfilling in continuing to learn and grow throughout our lives. Maybe you've signed up for online classes from time to time. And sometimes we do this simply for practical purposes. We want to gain expertise, perhaps to qualify ourselves so that we can get that new job or that promotion. But there is often as well, deep down, a desire in us to be found of worth and to live more fulfilled lives. I don't know, maybe if you've gotten to the age where you're not interested anymore in learning new things, you know everything you need to know or everything that is important for knowing, maybe that will happen too. Anyway, in the 70s, there was a company, L'Oreal, who put out cosmetics. L'Oreal came up with an advertising slogan. Do you know what it is? "Because I'm worth it." It's shifted slightly over time, but remains basically the same, from "because I'm worth it" to "because you're worth it" to "because we are worth it." And it's been their slogan ever since. Now, forgive me for my jadedness towards corporate advertising slogans, but I can't help but wonder if it's a coincidence that this company wants to promote women's self-worth precisely at the same moment of wanting to sell something. But L'Oreal is onto something. They're right, really. Not only do we want to improve ourselves, we want to feel worthy. And what we want to know, or sorry, we want to show others that we're worthy. We're all of us deeply insecure at times. So we buy stuff to improve our self-worth, and we pursue any variety of strategies for self-improvement so that we can show ourselves more competent, more qualified, more successful, more worthy. When Jesus is talking with his disciples, he tells them something completely unexpected, that he is going to suffer and die before rising again. Instead of espousing the way of self-improvement and of glory, he tells them about the way of the cross. And this is a moment in which Peter stops being a disciple. He stops following Jesus and instead tells Jesus what to do. You know, now imagine pulling Jesus aside and giving him advice and direction on how to do this whole Messiah thing. It was audacious and it was wrong. And if we are to be Jesus' followers, the church, we are to follow him on the way of the cross. Eugene Peterson was a pastor and a writer. He wrote the Message paraphrase of the Bible. He says, Jesus needed to make sure that his own followers did not misunderstand what was involved in following him. Following Jesus is not a path to privilege. It is not a way to get what you want. It is not the inside track to a higher standard of living. In the church, there have always been a lot of people who expect everything to turn out wonderfully when they commit themselves to God's ways, worship faithfully, study their Bibles, witness to their friends, and give generously. But it is following Caiaphas that gets you that kind of life, not following Jesus. Caiaphas was the Jewish high priest who played the power games of his day. It is following Caiaphas that gets you that kind of life, not following Jesus. Jesus makes that explicit when he says, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross. Well, the way of the cross lets go of panicked ladder climbing and the pursuit of success, power, and glory, because the way of the cross affirms our self-worth. We need not try to prove our worth either to ourselves or to others, and least of all, to God. The way of the cross says you are worth it, worth dying for, and not because you know how to load a dishwasher properly or can suddenly prove yourself to be an expert interior designer or something. You want to know what it is to be the church? It's not only being a community that confesses Jesus, but it's also being a community that follows him on the way of the cross. This is our DNA, and the early church had to learn this lesson too. They weren't a community characterized by grasping after greater influence, authority, wealth, or power. They were a community characterized by love and sacrifice for others. Our Romans lesson describes this kind of a church. Paul writes, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. What are you hanging on to give you a sense of self-worth in life? Have you ever told Jesus, like Peter, what it is that you need or want, or how he ought to fulfill your felt needs? What prevents you from considering the needs of others before your own? Could we take the step of utter vulnerability, laying down our self-interests for the sake of those around us, and serve others in Jesus' name? The cross is Jesus' proof to us of our worth, despite our faults and failures. Jesus says to you, you are worth it, worth carrying a cross for, worth dying and rising for. We can live for ourselves or we can live for Jesus, but in living for ourselves, we'll lose our soul and life will be a shell of what it's intended to be. Give up our claim on our lives, surrender ourselves to Jesus, and everything falls together, just like all those dishes in the dishwasher racks. We'll wake up to the reality of being the church, the community of God, exercising our gifts, growing in joy and service, despite the hardships that come our way. After all, what follows death is a resurrection, and that is a promise held out to each and every one of us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day, this new day. Your grace and mercy covers us day in and day out, and we are so grateful and thankful. Thank you for your word and the opportunity to open it, to read it, to study it, to reflect on it. And we thank you especially for the ways in which your word speaks to us. Sometimes it speaks comfort, sometimes it convicts. And Lord, we reflect on this passage and we think of how we are so often very much like Peter, who has the audacity to tell you what to do and how to do it. Forgive us, Lord, for the times in which we've sought to follow the path of glory, of our insecurities driving us to kind of compensate, maybe, through becoming better, becoming more successful, becoming more competent at things. When you all along chose the way of the cross, you let go of yourself for the sake of others. Make us your church, a church that follows you on the way of the cross, Lord Jesus. It's not an easy path to follow, and deep down there is a part of us that doesn't want to follow it. But Lord, we know that the reward at the end is so very worth it. And for the sake of loving you and loving those around us, we pray that you would strengthen us, your church, to serve others, to let go of our own ambitions, and to lift up your name by loving people around us. We are yours. We come to you with our every need, and we thank you that you hear our prayers. We ask that your Spirit would surround us, equip us, comfort us, and build us up in our lives of faith. In your name we pray. Amen.